Welcome to week 9. This week we're going to be looking at your confidence and your self-esteem, which of course is going to be building on the work that we started in week 7 and week 8, which was all about beliefs. So how did you get on with your belief work last week? I wonder what you learnt from the session. Now would be a good time for you to get your workbook and to start working on the recap questions to help you get clearer about your learnings from week 8's session before we move into this week's. So what one thing did you learn from last week's session? And what change or progress have you noticed around your beliefs, having worked on them in week 7 and week 8? What difference, if any, do paying attention to your thoughts and feelings on a daily basis make to your progress in terms of challenging limiting beliefs and supporting you in moving forwards with your goals? How successful were you at catching and then challenging any limiting mind chatter? You should be getting quite good at this now. We've been working on it for a little while. And which techniques did you use? What did you remember and call on? How good were you at actually checking and challenging any limiting beliefs when they came up and then using techniques to catch them and to change them? And have you continued practicing your new techniques on a daily basis so that you can achieve that 30-day challenge we spoke about some time ago? And if not, what stopped you? What would stop you from keeping up that practice, knowing that it could make a huge difference in terms of any limiting beliefs you've been working with? And how's your expectation of yourself around your goals improving day by day and week by week? Answer those questions now, please, before you move on to today's topic. Stop the audio and turn it back on when you've finished answering those questions. So, there's two good pieces of news for you right at the start of today's session. The first is, you've got so many tips and techniques that have already been shared with you in previous sessions. You're going to get a chance to use them this week and to continue using them to support you with your confidence and your self-esteem building. And secondly, if you want to, you can also learn how to be confident. I think that's really good news because sometimes people think you have to be born with confidence or confidence is something that's innate. But actually, confidence is situational. And all that means is, we might feel that we're confident in one aspect of our life, say in our career, but be less confident in another area of our life, such as making new friends or speaking to people that we don't know. And whoever you come across, however confident they are, it's not likely that they're going to be 100% confident in the way that you see them in every single area of their life. Of course, there might be some people who are, but generally speaking, it's situational. There are some things that we are more confident in than others where we really could do with looking at it or improving it or learning how to be more confident in that area. So confidence is something that's external that you can learn. So I hope that's really good news for you. Now, of all the confident people I've known and worked with over the years, few of them, as I've said, have been confident in every area. The majority, no matter who they are, worried about or lacked confidence in one or more important area of their lives, often around the topic of interacting with other human beings. Isn't that interesting? So even confident people worry about how they're going to get on with others. I wonder if you're finding that helpful to be aware of as you think about your own confidence and your own challenges. Now, some people appear to have been born with confidence. Others have developed it as a skill over a lifetime. Others aren't even aware or even bothered about being confident. They just are. And some don't believe they ever will be able to be confident. And I wonder what category you fall into. And maybe you've got a different category. Maybe there's something I didn't mention there. Get clear about how you think and how you feel about confidence now. Do that now. Turn off the audio or stop it or pause it. And just think about, where would you put yourself in terms of confidence and how you think about it and feel about it? Well, whatever category that you fall into, I want to share with you that I personally have been in the non-confident category as well as a confident one. And I've worked with individuals who fall into all of the above that I listed. And thank goodness for personal development techniques and coaching, because they were the key to both my personal and my client's personal confidence changes and being able to make a lasting change through using coaching and many of the techniques I've shared with you and many of the techniques that are on my CD and DVD set and the other things that I do in coaching sessions with clients as well. Now, many of my clients, when they come to coaching, they confuse confidence with self-esteem. They tell me they want to be more confident, usually at everything. But when we start to question what confidence actually is for them, most people don't actually know what it means. Some people do, but many don't. When they say, I want to be more confident, and I say, what in? And they tell me, and I say, well, how would you know? And quite often, they really don't know what that is. So Oliver James, author and psychologist, he shares his theories that around 50% of the population have self-esteem challenges, mainly due to childhood experiences. And Battle, Brown, Andrews, Harris, Adler and Bridge in 1986 say that self-esteem issues can actually lead to depression, and depression can lead to self-esteem issues. So what is self-esteem and how is it different to confidence? Well, self-esteem is very much about how you see yourself, how you talk about yourself, both inside, and how you feel about your ability to try new things regardless of failing. In fact, good self-esteem doesn't think in terms of failing, but rather in terms of what can I learn from this in order to develop and grow? Do you remember Kolb's learning cycle? Well, being able to think like this is also a big part of emotional intelligence and of CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy work. Natural or real confidence is easier to attain if you've got good self-esteem, though you can be confident and have low self-esteem. But it does take more effort if your self-esteem is dented or low. But as I've already told you at the start of this, good news is you can improve your self-esteem and most definitely your confidence through self-awareness, through personal development exercises, and through being willing and ready and able to take actions. I'm sure you've heard the saying, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. And so it is with negative thoughts that affect your confidence and self-esteem. For some individuals, their self-esteem may have been impacted upon during childhood. For others, it may have happened later on in life, such as in teenage years or adult life. They may have had a good self-esteem when they were younger. And of course, it can get dented if life throws us really challenging times or difficult experiences that we don't know how to handle or we don't have the support around that we need at the time of it. There's a good chance that most of us at some time in our life have had some self-esteem or self-confidence dips. And identifying and then learning from these times can be really beneficial so that you can avoid similar unnecessary occurrences happening again in the future. And that's a key point for today's session. You need to identify and then learn from it, because it's through wanting to be confident in a specific area, such as goal setting, identifying what it means or what it is for you, and then noticing your past behavioural strategies that you've practiced and not been confident, and then learning from those past experiences and replacing the old behaviours with new, better serving ones, which you're going to practice regularly until they become your new reality, which will really help you to step into being confident. Now, if you find your esteem or confidence dipping now and again, rather than it being an ongoing challenge, you've probably already got some excellent strategies or techniques for moving yourself on. Get clear about what works and then keep on doing what works for you. Keep the good work up. However, if for you your self-esteem or confidence is regularly affected or daily affected, then there's going to be some work to be done together. Though remember, you've already got lots of techniques and lots of questions that we've already covered with these sessions that we've done so far, and they're going to be able to support you in building upon your esteem and confidence. If you feel you need extra support outside of coaching and personal development, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions already, you might consider seeking the help of a counsellor or a therapist to support the work that you've started doing on this program if you think that that's necessary or would be really helpful. Nathaniel Brandon is hailed as a self-esteem expert, and he says, in order to build self-esteem, you have to value and respect yourself. Individuals with low or poor self-esteem tend to be respectful of others and value others, but they don't respect themselves. In fact, they think of themselves as being less than others. He says, compared to those who've got inflated self-esteem or ego, they think highly of themselves and consider themselves to be more than others. And they're not as likely to treat others as well as they do themselves. So good self-esteem usually shows itself as being outward focused, whereas low self-esteem tends to be more inward focused on negative things that you think about yourself and the lack of value that you may place upon yourself. So it's important to point out to you at this point that confidence is not the same as arrogance or a more than attitude. Those with good self-esteem and confidence simply get on with life. They get on with the tasks and goals that they've set for themselves. They're less likely to be introspective and self-obsessed and self-focused. Those with low self-esteem and confidence can tend to be but focus purely on themselves rather than on others. And they can be very focused on what's going wrong in their life rather than how to make it better or improve it. So those who've got good self-esteem, they tend to think of others as well as themselves, and they've got a more external, more can-do approach. Now, I've already mentioned the word depression earlier, and I don't like to bandy that word around lightly. People use the word when they're feeling a bit fed up or a bit low. However, if you really do think that your confidence or self-esteem has been affected in a way that causes you to feel depressed, then coaching isn't the best tool for depression, nor for high anxiety either. In fact, it can make things worse. So if you know that you suffer from depression or you know that you suffer from anxiety, then you might want to go, as I've already said, and seek some help from someone who's qualified to support you in moving on from that. Now, I highly recommend working with a Human Givens approach. You can find out more about that yourself, or perhaps you've got a preferred counsellor or therapist approach that you'd like to look at. That doesn't mean to say you can't work on this program. It just means that it's not best to use a coaching program for topics such as depression or anxiety. However, if you've got a bit of a low self-esteem or a dip in your confidence, then coaching is a really effective way to support you and help you in getting back on track and setting goals so that you can move forward and start to value and respect and feel better about who you are and how you operate. As I've already mentioned, Brandon talks about valuing and respecting yourself. And before you continue with this program, if you agree with the theory, because of course you may have a completely different idea about what self-esteem is, but if you think that it's not a bad starting point, which obviously I think it's quite a good place to start with because I'm bringing it to your attention, then I'd like you to get clear about how would you know if you actually value and respect yourself? And whatever you answer, what do the words value, what do the words respect, when thinking about yourself, actually mean to you? How would you know that you do value and you do respect yourself? You'll find these questions in your workbook, so you can stop the audio in a moment and you can do that. So I'm going to ask you to take a little bit of time and answer the questions before you progress on to the next set of questions. So do stop the audio and get very clear about what do value and respect mean to you, and how do you know if and when you actually value and respect yourself. And have a think about, could that impact on your self-esteem and confidence? And if so, how? Just turn the audio off, please, and come back in a few moments when you've had a chance to do that exercise. Please do it before you move on. Okay, welcome back. So here's some questions to help you build upon the self-awareness work that you've already started in previous sessions. If you've got any trouble answering any of the questions or you don't like some of the answers, they could make great goals for you in the personal development segment of your Wheel of Life, and they could really support you in feeling better about yourself. So take a look at the questions and see if there's any that really you're not keen on or you don't like and that you think maybe are very low scoring, or you think I'd really do with working on these particular points and maybe use my Wheel of Life to help me. So number one, how do you show yourself that you're important or worth looking after? This is important for self-care. Take some time to answer that, please. Question two. How often do you take time out to do things that you enjoy that make you feel really good? How often do you do that? And of course, if you don't show yourself that you're important, then please think about and state three ways that you could start to as of today. And if you do it, what do you do and how often do you do it? And if you're not doing it, would you like to? And if the answer is yes, what and when will you start? Question number three. Do you say yes to everyone even when you really want to say no? And if the answer to this is yes, why might that not be the best practice in terms of building your self-esteem? So if you say yes to everyone even when you really want to say no, why might that not be best practice in terms of you building your self-esteem? Take some time to think about and answer that question. Now remember, these questions are very much about self-care. Self-care fits in with self-respect and valuing oneself. So question number four is, when you're at work or when you're working in general, do you take regular breaks, including lunch or tea breaks or just little breaks? And if you don't, if you tend to work throughout the day without taking any or adequate breaks, Why might that not be a good practice? Take some time to answer that now, please. And question 5. How did you get on with the exercises around knowing yourself earlier on during previous sessions? Did you find that you knew yourself well and treated yourself with respect? Or did you discover something else? Take time to answer that one, please. Question 6. Do you remember to put yourself first at least once on a daily or a weekly basis? Or does that feel selfish and not okay? Take some time to answer that, please. Question 7. I think we've covered this one earlier on, but how are you at spending time alone with your own company? Do you ever enjoy me time? If you do, how often do you have it? What do you do? And why do you think it might be good in developing your self-esteem? If you don't enjoy me time, please take some time to think about what that might be about and whether you could start to just have a little tiny bit of space for the most important person in your life, which is you, and bring that into your life on a daily, regular basis. Question 8. In personal development, it's considered a good thing to honour yourself so that you can do the same for others. What does it mean to you to honour yourself? How do you know that you do it? And if you don't, what could you start doing? So, I wonder how you got on with those questions. And if any other thoughts came up for you as you were working on them. If they have, please take a moment and log down any extra thoughts or anything else that you'd like to catch before we move on. So now you've answered these questions, I'd like you to think of 3 things that you either are going to do or you already do that show that you take good care of yourself. And if you're not doing anything, please come up with 3 things that you're going to do with immediate effect. And if you are doing some things, check them over and just see whether you want to carry on doing them or whether you'd like to introduce something new. And some reading you might like to consider is Cheryl Richardson's books, Take Time for Your Life or Life Makeovers. They're great little books and they help you to continue looking at this particular area that we've just started above. So, were there any similarities or gaps to the findings you made when you explored value and respect for yourself with the answers to self-care that you've just been looking at now? So, did you find that there were any things the same? So value and respect and self-care, they may have had some similar definitions. Or did you find they were quite different? Did you find that the gaps of you not valuing yourself or not respecting yourself or not taking care of yourself were the same or were different? Just take a moment to reflect on and to learn from what your patterns and behaviours have been around these descriptive words that feed your self-esteem, which will support you with your confidence. Just take some time to look at that now before you move on to the next part of today's session. And then as always with any exercise, what are you going to do with that information? Please make some decisions and commitment now as to what exactly you will do with the information that you've just gathered. So you may have heard of Maslow, you may have heard of Mindfield College and bioenergetic therapy, and I know I've mentioned Tony Robbins already. Well, they all talk about the importance of having our basic human needs met in order to raise our confidence and our self-esteem. And I've already said to you that confidence is easy to work with and on, though it does involve an element of risk, in as much as it takes you out of your comfort zone and it asks you to step into your stretch zone. But in order to feel confident, in order to be able to work with confidence and self-esteem, we need to have our basic human needs met in our everyday life. And we're going to take a look at that in a little bit more detail in just a short while. If we're going to work with confidence or self-esteem, whether it's ours or our clients, it might mean we have to step out of our comfort zone. And sometimes that might sound a little bit scary, but you know, it doesn't have to be. Staying out of your comfort zone could be as simple as dipping your toe into the stretch zone and trying out something really small in order to take the first steps towards building your confidence. You see, confidence isn't about certainty. That's what your comfort zone is about. Certainty and comfort and security and safety. And you may have some very different words to describe it. But confidence is about considering teeny-weeny little risk-taking actions even when you aren't 100% sure that they're going to be successful. And it's that willingness to embrace some risk, even calculated risks are okay, but that willingness to embrace some risk and accept that risk has a place in your life that will help you to feel stretched, alert, alive, and confident. You see, there's no risk in your life at all. That equals certainty. And that's great sometimes to have certainty. However, as Tony Robbins says, when he talks about his six human needs, if we only have certainty without the opposite, which is variety or risk, we're likely to get bored or fed up or stuck or looking for, there must be more than this to life. So I mentioned to you about taking a look at the basic human needs, and I've just mentioned Tony Robbins and he has six of them. And I want to share with you the different ideas around basic human needs so that you can see, you can recognize whether you're having yours met. Now, Maslow, initially there were five, but in the 70s it was changed and adapted to seven. He talks about biological and physiological needs. He also talks about safety, belonging and love, esteem, cognitive, aesthetic, and self-actualization. Now, you can Google these, you can put them in your search engine. There's so much information on Maslow. You can find out more if you're interested in researching what the basic human needs are, if you don't already know. Now, human givens, they say that the basic human needs are attention. We need attention. We need social connection. We need meaning, purpose, and goals. We need status and emotional connection. We need creativity and stimulation. And we need autonomy and control. Now, do you have those in your life? And then Tony Robbins says that we need certainty and uncertainty. And I've already shared with you his reasoning for that. He says we all need significance. We need to feel important or significant. And I've found that that word is one of the negative carriers of energy for so many of my clients, particularly with confidence and self-esteem issues. The thought of them feeling important or significant is sometimes too much for them to say, and they feel bad about thinking that it would be okay to be significant. And there's a big charge behind that word for a lot of people, important or significant. So do check that with yourself as well. But we all need to feel that we're important to someone and that we're significant in some aspect of our life, whether it's our career or in our family, with our friends, with our partners. We need some significance. He also says that we need love and connection, we need growth, and we need community. Now, I find Tony Robbins' six human needs the simplest to checklist against in my own life and with my clients' lives. I don't know which of those three sets you'll find the most beneficial or of interest or use, or maybe you'll mix them up or you like them all. But just stop and check out whichever set you like best, and they're in your workbook. Do you have those human needs being met in your life, in all areas of your life? You could look at your wheel of life and you could check. You don't have to have all of them in every single area, but the idea is that you're having them all met throughout your wheel of life. Just take a moment and go check that now. So how did you get on with that? Did you find that you have some gaps, that there's some areas where you could do with a little bit more variety, where you could do perhaps with a little bit less variety and a bit more certainty? Perhaps you found that you don't have the human connection that you need and that you need to do some work on that. And maybe you discovered that there's some room for growth or for community or for more love in your life. Well, whatever you found, I'd like you to decide, what are you going to do with that information? Now that you've had a look at this, what will you actually do with the information? Stop the audio and make a decision about that now, please. So if you're going to change how you feel about your confidence and if you're going to grow, then it's important to remember that risk isn't going to go away. So whether you're working with your clients or whether you're working with yourself, it's important to handle risk in a way that works with who you are. So that might be taking small steps in order to build up confidence, or it might be taking larger steps depending on how you view risk-taking. By doing this, you can learn to value your achievements because you've achieved them in spite of the risk. And if you start with calculated ones, it really does help you to feel so much better about who you are when you're taking actions that are different or unusual to the ones that you've taken in the past. It also allows you to have a look at how you might face things and how you could deal with them if they go wrong. And you can look, of course, at week 12 that's coming up on fear, and that will be able to very much help you with risk taking in the future as well. And you can start to set and achieve goals, which will help you to feel more confident to try more new things in the future. I hope you're getting the idea of this so far. So to start working on your confidence or your esteem, you've got to get clear about What do you mean by confidence and what do you mean by esteem? So I've given you some earlier examples by Nathaniel Brandon. I've given you some examples of mine as well. And of course, you can always look up in the dictionary what these words mean. But it's really important that you get clear about what confidence means to you and how you'd know if and when you had it. And what do you want to be more confident in? And even if you say everything, you need to make a list of what everything means so that you can start with one thing first. And you need to do the same with self-esteem. How would you know if you had good self-esteem? What does it mean to you? Where would the evidence be that would say your self-esteem has improved? Now please, if you haven't already done that kind of exercise with these two words, I need you to stop the audio in just a moment and get clear about what they mean to you and how you'd know if and when you had them. Because, of course, the second step will be to set a goal so that you can break it down into pieces and then take action on it, which we're going to be looking at in this program. So please do that now. Get clear about confidence and self-esteem and how you'd know if you had it. Stop the audio and do that now. Okay, so when you're looking to build your confidence or your esteem, it's a really good starting place to look at specific past events or experiences that might knock you or make you doubt your confidence in the present. So if you do that, you can start to break free from maybe old stories that you've told yourself about how life has to be when it comes to taking action on a particular goal. So for example, very many people that I get to work with have confidence issues around relationships and around career move. Many people are frightened about going for a new job or for doing presentations or for going for interviews. And they base that on a fear of what might happen in the future, even if they've never had a bad experience in their life. They build it up and make it into some awful movie that could occur. Or, more commonly, they base it on one past experience that they keep bringing to life in the present. Is this making sense to you? And so what we need to do is we need to look at the past things that cause us to doubt ourselves or knock our confidence in the present, and we need to take them apart. We need to look at our strategy and we need to challenge them. If we don't do that, what we're doing is we're reliving the past in the present and then taking that past into the future, which will dictate the outcome of our goals and the outcome as to whether we get a new job or whether we get a new relationship or not. So it's very important that you take a look at what it was that stopped you from being confident in the first place and just check in. What was it that happened? And we're going to do an exercise in just a moment to help you with one such thing. Because you might already know that we've got so many millions of bits of information coming at us at any one time. And because there's too much information for our brains to handle, it filters out what we don't need or what we don't recognise. And it lets in the little bits that fit with our story of who we are, who we're told we are, who we think we are. Now this happens because what we do is when an event occurs, we interpret it according to our filters, we then attach a meaning to it, and then we wrap that around our memory of the event. And what's really interesting, I remember learning this in history when I was studying that some years ago. I remember my history teacher saying that an event that occurs with a number of people in the room, they will all give you a different perspective and a different meaning for that very same event. They'll have a different viewpoint, or they'll have a different story to tell or an opinion of what actually occurred. And I remember the history teacher saying to us, so who's right? Whose story, whose view, whose perception is right when everyone's is different? And of course the answer is everyone's right. It just depends on the subconscious filters that we're operating from when we're actually looking at any event from our past. So many people that I've worked with, and I've done this myself, have their present moment affected and impacted upon in a negative way because of remembering something from the past that they haven't challenged. And by not challenging it, they bring it to life. They breathe life back into it and bring it into their present moment. And when they do that, they start to get upset, they start to relive the event, and they start to feel the feelings and the emotions that that event caused back then, because it's not happening now. Something triggers them, something causes them to remember it, and maybe it's because they're going for an interview, and then up flashes that awful picture of the last time they went and the terrible things that happened and how they felt and the thoughts that they had. And before they know it, they're reliving that and knowing that that's how all future interviews are going to be. Do you get my point with this? So when that happens, we need to have a different strategy. And I've got an exercise coming up for you in just a short while. And what we have to remember is that we have the power to choose to be in the present moment, in the now. And by recognizing that, by noticing that we are in the now, we can stop the chatter, the feelings, the visuals from the past that we're bringing to life. We can take the life out of them and we can stop them and know that they belong in the past and that we can change and challenge and move forward and move on from that old experience we once had. Now, if you're interested in finding out more about how to be present, how to be in the now, you might like to look at The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Do take a look at the book. It's also on audio. As always, I'm not recommending that you buy this because you might not like it. But if you can get hold of a copy and have a look at it, see whether it's for you or not. There's lots of other stuff you can do about being present. It's quite a current subject and topic at the moment. So let's do an exercise. I want you to think about a confidence or an esteem issue that you've had that could impact on the goals that you're setting at this moment. If you haven't got any at all, either think of something completely different, or you can always skip this if you don't have any confidence or esteem issues at all. You might just want to read through the notes, or you might just want to listen to this, but you may not. If not everybody will have a confidence or esteem issue. But if you do, think about something around the goals that you're working on at the moment on this program where you lack confidence or you think your self-esteem may be affected. And it's because of an event in the past, something that happened in the past that still causes you to doubt yourself in the present. Please think about an event right now. And as you think about it, I want you to get in touch with the feelings and the emotions, and I want you to name them. So what would you call them? It might be things like shame or worry or fear or something else. What are the feelings and emotions? Please write them down now. And as that event was happening, bearing in mind it's in the past now, but when it was happening and it was in your present moment, what decisions did you make, consciously or unconsciously, about how this event would impact on or affect your future? Now, you may think you didn't make any, but you will have made some. If you don't know, guess. And you can always use your kinesiology testing tool if you liked it. I know some of you may not like it, but if you did like it, you can always use that to help you, to support you, to check out your yes-no answers. But make a guess if you really don't know what decisions you made. And did you feel any pain in the moment? When we feel emotions, they're often quite painful and they affect us in our head or our tummy or our chest and sometimes in other parts of our body as well. What pain did you feel? Where did you feel it? So any of those emotions you just wrote down a moment ago, were they painful? And if they were, where did you feel them? Please write that down now. And how real were these feelings at the time? These painful feelings, how real were they? And as you remember them now, can you feel them again? Are you able to step into that feeling, those thoughts, bringing that picture back to life? Are you able to step into it with ease? Now, some of you will be able to and some of you won't. But can you see how easy it is to bring the past to life? Can you see how easy it is to bring it into the present moment, even though it's not happening now? You're just thinking about it. Can you also see that if you carry on ignoring, challenging this old picture and thoughts and feelings, there's a chance that you'll keep taking that into your present moments and into your future? And you may feel this pain and emotional upset again and again and again around this goal that you're endeavouring to work on. So what we want to do is we want to change the meaning of that old event so that it doesn't affect you in the present and so that you don't take it into the future again. Because you've actually got the power, I know you know this from the choice week that we did, you've got the power to choose to do something differently and you've got the power to change how you react to this old feeling, to allow it to stay in the past, to learn from it, to move on from it, and to start taking some new confident actions in the future. So here's some more questions for you. Still thinking about the event, what's your mind chatter saying about the event? Now, as you think about that, how's your body language? How are you sitting or standing as you think about what your mind chatter is saying? Pay attention to that right now, please. What feelings have you got about that event? And where are those feelings in your body? We've kind of done this already, so go to them now. What are the feelings and where are they in your body? And again, I want you to notice your physiology. How's your body language as you think about the feelings and where they are? Write that down, please. What thoughts do you have about this event? If they're different to the mind chatter, please write them down. And again, pay attention to your body language. What's it doing? And what memories and images have you got about this event? And as you think about them, remember, what's your body language doing? How are you holding yourself? And is there anyone else that you could ask about this event? Was there anybody else there? Was there anyone else that you could get a different perspective on, just so that you could look at it from a different viewpoint? If not, it's not a problem. But if so, who could that be? Now, by getting you to do that, I'm asking you to really get clear about the patterns that you've created around this event in your mind and in your body. And if, and there's a good chance this happened, if as you were thinking about that event and it was a negative one, your body, there's a good chance, will have been going down or been rounded. And when we're working with anything to do with confidence, esteem or limiting beliefs, we're never just working with the mind. We're always working with the body as well. And so that's why I'm bringing your attention to the body. And I know we've already covered state management. I'm needing you to be very clear about how your body reacts when your mind is thinking, because we need to work with both of those in order to move you on from any limiting pull back into the past, to free yourself in the present moment and help you be more confident and start to feel better about yourself in terms of esteem as well. So each and every time you've got a confidence issue in the future, if you could stop and notice what's going on, if you could work through it in the way that we just have with those questions, and I know you won't always be able to, but if you could do that, if you could stop and just check, you're going to be more likely to be able to start to shift how you think and how you behave about that event, so you can change it in the now and change it for the future. So the questions that you're going to be asking yourself, ask yourself how that past event is affecting you in the present moment. And do you like the way it's affecting you, or would you like it to be different? Get clear about that. How's it affecting me? How do I want it to be instead of how it is? You can always ask yourself the questions that I've just gone through with you a moment ago. And as I've said, I know you won't be able to do them every time because you won't have them with you or it won't be appropriate. But if you can't do them in the moment, take some time out later and make sure that you do check out the points above. And particularly, I want you to notice the body movements that I've shared with you already, because we know if you change your state, you can change your thoughts as well. I also want you to think about asking yourself, what's the positive benefit of that old experience? So what are the learnings that you could take from it? Now, believe it or not, there are always learnings that you can take. So even if it's something where you became embarrassed, or where you forgot your answers when you were being interviewed, or where you forgot your lines when you were doing a presentation, whatever it is, there is always some positive learning that you can get out of it. So even if that seems like a bit of a silly question, I want you to think about what positive learning could you get from that old experience. As you think about that, when you've come up with those answers, how has that learning helped you to be the great person you are today? Has it made you stronger or wiser or something else? Has it helped you? And again, what we're doing is we're looking to reframe and to change the meaning that you wrapped around that event in the past based on your filters and your experience. So by looking for the positive learnings, we're starting to change it. So it's a really valuable step to take. When you've done that, get yourself or someone else to scramble or break up the old picture or image that you're holding. Doing that alone can shift emotional feelings and can help you to leave the old memory firmly fixed where it belongs, which is in the past. And you can see the scrambler example on today's video. You can watch it now, or you can wait until the end of the exercises, whatever's best for you. So what we're doing here is we're taking an old event that causes you pain, we're noticing your physiology around it, we're checking out, so we're going to start to change that, we're going to look at what you want instead, change the physiology, and then we're going to check out what the positive benefits or learnings are around the old experience. And then when you've got those, there's an opportunity for you to scramble that picture or those thoughts or feelings so that you can just see it in a different way, allow it to settle in the past so you can change it for the present and for the future. And then when you've done that, give the old issue a new meaning in the present. Create a picture, use words, and go into feelings that you want instead of what you had to represent that new meaning. Place it in the position that the old image used to be in and give that old issue a new meaning. So in this present moment, all that means is, what do I want instead? And create a picture and words and feelings to represent that new meaning, and then take that new picture and take those new feelings and take those new words and place them over the old picture. So you've already scrambled it, but you know where it is. But just put that picture firmly in that place. And remember that that's how you see it's going to be in the future. So if your presentation didn't go well and what you find is that the learning is you hadn't prepared well enough and that you're never, ever going to allow that to happen again, what a great learning. And because you've learned that you didn't prepare, and yeah, okay, it didn't make you feel good in the time, but what you have learned is you've never let that happen again. You've always prepared ever since that event. And now that you know that, you can take that new skill and that new strength into your upcoming presentation or interview. You're getting how you can start to make this a positive experience. And so the old issue now has a new meaning in the present, because what you've just realised is, ever since then, you always prepare. And what you can do is you can pull up a picture of you preparing, knowing that that's true. And of course, if this isn't true, then you can create a picture of you from now on preparing. And you can think the thoughts of someone who's prepared. I'm really prepared. I know I'm going to go into this with full knowledge. There isn't anything I can think of that they can ask me that I won't be able to answer because I've done my research and my preparation. So they're your new thoughts. And then you can go with the feelings of how great will you feel? How will you stand? How will you look? What will you be sitting like when you know you're prepared and you've done your research? And you're going to take that picture and those feelings and those thoughts and you're going to place them over the old picture, because you've scrambled it and it's a bit fuzzy now, or it's a bit less of an emotional tug, and you're going to pop your new picture there. And if you rehearse that 15 to 20 seconds, two or three times a day, every day, up to 30 days, in that short period of time, you will have a new meaning for that old event based on learnings and how you want it to be in the future. I hope that makes sense to you. Really worth you having a go about that. So if you haven't already done that, stop the audio and please do that now. So now in your workbook you'll see that the exercise is listed for you to do, and if you are having any trouble getting started on that, or you want to work on the area even more, then you'll see that there's another exercise for you that you can go straight to. And it's a very simple yes no answer question worksheet for you, and it asks you to read the questions and to answer them with a yes or a no. And if you want to go a little bit deeper, you can scale them on a 1 to 10, 1 being I never do that and 10 being I always do that, according to how you think about yourself in relation to the questions. So I don't really need to read those questions out to you. They're about your relationship with yourself, and there are 9 questions there for you. So you could stop the audio and you could do that right now. Okay, welcome back. How did you get on with that? So what you've got there is more information that you could choose to use to set goals around, to get to know yourself even better, to support you with your self-awareness, to help you build your self-esteem, and to support you in setting goals to help you with your confidence. If you want to go even deeper on the work you've just done on those 9 questions, you could mark beside each one of them the age you were when they first occurred. Now, you don't have to be exact, just allow your unconscious to help you to come up with an age. And then, of course, you can always use a kinesiology test to help you decide whether, yeah, you were that age or you weren't. And when you've done that, then what you can do is you can ask yourself the following questions. So you could say, what effect did this experience at that age have on my self-image? And if appropriate, how did it affect my identity and who I was or who I decided I could be? Remember, these are quite deep questions. You don't have to do these if you don't want to, but they're taking it even further. How do I remember this event? So was it a picture? Was it chatter? Was it feelings? Was it a mixture of them all? You need to get clear about that and the order. What comes first? The picture, the mind chatter, etc. This is in your workbook. And did this experience cause me to make any decisions about myself? For example, did it help me in deciding I wasn't good enough or lovable enough? Or did it make me feel rejected or not accepted or not perfect enough or alone or fear judgment or criticism, etc.? So what decisions did it make me feel about myself? And are there any beliefs I hold about myself because of this event? So you can take this so much deeper and you can go back to week 7 and 8 and you can work on your beliefs with that, can't you? And how could I use the learning cycle to help me break free of this experience or this event? And the stages are listed for you. What choices have I made in order to make the above possible? So what choices do I have to make the above possible? And which of those choices do I need to do first? So that's just a deeper exercise, like I've said. And some people will like to take it further and others will be fine leaving it at the stage we were at a few moments ago. If you want to really start to work with self-esteem, even more than confidence, because those questions are more for your self-esteem, then it might be a good idea, if you don't do that now, it might be a good idea to do them at some point later, because again, you can use coaching to support you with them, or some other supportive techniques, or some other individuals, if the stuff isn't really coaching appropriate. But you won't know unless you do the exercise and see. But you do have a lot of coaching techniques from the weeks that have gone by, and the Ice Scrambler is a great one as well. Kinesiology test is a good one to support you in yes, no answers. And you do have quite a few other bits and pieces we've done together that could help to free you up from the past. Even that little exercise we've just done now on reframing the picture and changing the meaning of it, that could be enough to move you on from some of these esteem issues. But that's up to you, your decision as to whether they're appropriate and right and the kind of thing that you want to do. So I'll let you make a decision about that. So after you've used the learning cycle and the scrambler, you might find that you feel much better about the situation. See, you can now choose to let go of the event and allow it to live in the past, or you might decide it needs some more work, as I've already said. But whatever you decide is going to be right for you. But don't move on until you've made a decision about how you wish to challenge or deal with an event. And if you want to let go, because letting go is one of the toughest things for so many of us, then you might want to look at reflective repatterning, which I've mentioned before, or Byron Katie. And there's also the Sedona method, and they can support you in getting clearer about letting go of past events. So some extra tools for you to look at there. And if you really want to make change, you need to consider these three ideas. Very simple. Stop doing what doesn't work. Try doing something new. If it works, keep doing it. And if it doesn't, try something new. And turn what works into a habit. As the saying goes, winners make a habit of doing things that losers don't. The thing is, change isn't comfortable. In order to make change happen, we have to do some unusual things or different things or things that take us out of our comfort zone. Now, here's an example for you. I'd like you to fold your arms like you normally do, comfortably. So my left arm goes over the top of my right one, which goes under my left. So that's comfortable for me. Now, what I want you to do, you may have done something like this before, is I want you to swap them. So I now want you to put, I'm going to put my right arm over the top of my left. And it feels different. And for some of you, it might feel uncomfortable. For some of you, just different. For some of you, both. But how does it feel? Now, if it feels uncomfortable or different, the question is, how many of you like feeling uncomfortable or different? When I ask that, most people say they don't. They like feeling comfortable. They're not keen on feeling uncomfortable. They'd rather stay with what they know than move into something that they don't know. And yet, if you practice this new way of folding your arms, which, by the way, I have done many times, it doesn't take long for that new way to become comfortable, for it to become your comfort zone. And so it is with any change that you're making around your confidence, your esteem, or any limiting beliefs for that matter. In order for you to change them, you need to do something new or different that may not feel comfortable to start with, but if you practice it, you're going to find it gets more comfortable. Now here's another way. Link your fingers in together. So fold your hands as if in prayer and notice where your fingers interlace with each other. And then just open your fingers and move them one finger along. And again, notice how that feels different or uncomfortable. And what you could do is whilst you're doing this, you could say the affirmation, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. And of course, the more you practice, you might move them along again one more time. It feels a bit odd. And again, I have to say, none of these feel really odd to me because I've practiced them and I've done them a lot of times. So they actually all feel quite comfortable. They just feel different. And different is quite nice sometimes, for me anyway. And so you could practice doing that, saying, I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. And if you do that on a regular basis, you can do it very easily throughout the day. And what you'll find is it becomes very natural for you. And you can link that to the esteem or the confidence or the belief changes that you're looking to make. So growth and change require some element of discomfort, and in order to feel comfortable, you're going to need to move yourself through some uncomfortable steps, but you can make them as small as you want to. They don't have to be big and huge. So, we're going to do another exercise now. Okay, you'll see in your workbook this exercise. Think about a business or personal challenge that bothers you because of a confidence or self-esteem issue that you'd like to change but you haven't because you've got some discomfort, some effort or some fear. How has this behaviour become a habit? How did that happen? How easy is it for you to stay here? Are you stuck in your comfort zone? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I don't want to and 10 being I couldn't want it more, how much do you want to change this behaviour or habit? What would it give you if you did change it? What would you lose? What are the benefits of staying where you are? Now, imagine keeping this behaviour and time passing. It's now 12 months in the future. Just stop and imagine that. Nothing's changed, but 12 months have passed. How does that feel, still carrying that old behaviour, those old pictures, those old thoughts, those old feelings from the past, carrying them into the future, knowing they're going to keep on impacting on your goal? Stop and imagine that now, please. Now take it further into the future. Let's go forward 3 years. How old will you be then? How does it feel still having this going on another 36 months later? Nothing has changed. I want you to see it. I want you to talk to yourself about it. And I want you to feel it. Stop the audio and go into that state now, please. 3 years has passed and this problem is still there for you. Okay, not enough pain for you? Well, let's do it for 5 years in the future. Think about it for 5 years. Stop the audio and do the same thing. 5 years have passed. What's that? 60 months have gone by. How old will you be then? And you've done nothing. The time has gone. How fast has this year gone? How fast did the year before go? And before that and before that? Do that now, please. Now, if you're not doing this, then it's really recommended that you do. You need to take yourself there now. You know the power of the mind. And you need to do it with 10 years as well, because there are people that I've worked with, and I have done this myself in the past, people I've worked with who meant to do something about an issue, be it a confidence issue or an esteem issue or a problem or a relationship or a health or a career issue, they meant to do something about it. And not only 5 and 10 years went by, but 20 years went by, and they land up saying, how did I let that happen? How did I end up here? Why didn't I do something about it back then? Look at the difference it could have made to my life. Such a huge difference. If only I'd taken some action back then. If only I'd let myself be a little bit uncomfortable back then and practiced it. I could have had such... Can you hear the story going on? So I don't want that for you. So I want you to imagine it so that you can really start to use it to motivate you, if this does motivate you, by the way, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. So do it for 10 years as well. Think about how you had a chance in your mind's eye 10 years ago to do something about your confidence or esteem around a particular goal, but you chose to do nothing about it. Think of the missed opportunities. Think of the people you didn't get to meet, the joys you missed out on, the learning you lost out on. Hear that internal nagging voice goading you, laughing at you, reminding you of how useless you are because you didn't take action back then. Think of the emotions you're going to feel, the guilt, the resentment, the anger, whatever emotions you allowed to run you back then. And notice how you haven't eased up. They're still running you now. And you know that all you had to do back then was get clear about what you wanted rather than what you didn't. You know this stuff. All you had to do was set that goal and then take some regular and consistent actions. All you had to do was challenge that old stuff, those old pictures, those old assumptions, those old meanings that you attributed to things. All you had to do was find a supportive friend or supporter or coach, and things could have been so different. But instead, you let the time fly by, and here you are, exactly the same, just older, sadder, more emotional, and the issue is still here. Now, this is meant to be a motivating program, isn't it? So I'm sorry if that took you to a place that wasn't particularly positive, but does that motivate you, what we just did there, to work on the issue? Because if it does, that's a move away from exercise. And many of us are move away from, we don't want things to happen. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we need a bit of pain. We need a kick up the bum in order to do something different or new. So maybe now that we've done that, you realise actually that did motivate you. And some of you will be going, no, that didn't motivate me at all. So we'll do something different for you in a moment. But maybe after doing that exercise, you just realise that the issue isn't as big as you thought, and maybe it isn't such a worry. Or perhaps you thought about the rewards and the benefits. Maybe you were thinking, oh, I can't think about that stuff. All I can think about are what I want and the benefits of getting on and doing it. Well, it's really important that you recognise how you operate. So how do you feel having taken part in that exercise? Please write that down. If you didn't do it, rewind and go do it now, please. It's really worth doing it just to find out what motivates you. And this is a good time, isn't it? Good time to find out. So take some time out now and find out, does the fear of doing nothing motivate you? And you should be able to answer that quite quickly. So how did you get on? Now, as I've already mentioned, I previously spoke to you a little bit about move towards and move away from motivation, and I've just mentioned that to you again. And the above exercise is a great way of exploring how you're motivated. See, neither of them is right, neither of them is wrong. They're just ways of operating. And do you remember, I've said this to you before, I like to work with my clients with who they are, the way they are, rather than who they think they should be or have to be. So if you work well with pain in terms of how awful it will be if you don't do anything about it, then use it. Make it work for you. And so if the above did cause you pain and it has motivated you, then get on and look at how can you use that so that it will help you to take actions on your goals so that you can keep your motivation up. However, if you're working with a coach, know that they can help and support you to find a less painful way of working if you don't like being motivated in that way. If you're happy with it, great. If you're not, then they can help you to find another approach you can still work with your move away from, but they can help you to start to change the line or the continuum that you work on. So if that's making any sense to you, great. If it's not, find yourself a coach and they'll be able to support you in changing it if you don't like the pain of that exercise, but you know that it does motivate you. Okay, in week 10 and 11, we're going to be looking at procrastination, and we're also going to look at accountability as well. And sometimes it's procrastination that stops us from changing our confidence or our self-esteem or working on our goals. So I hope now, as it's week 9, that that's not going to be the case for you, that you've been taking consistent action. But just in case there's any little bits left over, we are going to be looking at that the next couple of weeks. So back to the exercise. If the exercise didn't motivate you at all, then maybe you're more on the move towards continuum. That doesn't mean to say you're completely moved towards. Maybe a little bit of it motivated you, but you actually found you were thinking about, like I said, rewards and benefits. So all that means is you're going to be more motivated by rewards than by pain. Now, you know, just knowing this can be really useful. So the horror of how awful you're going to feel in 1, 3, 5, or 10 years might just not have done anything for you apart from like, that's not going to happen. And instead you might have been thinking, well, if I do take that action, how great will my life be in 1 year? And the same with 3 and 5 and 10. So you'll be looking at benefits and rewards. Now, if you find that that sounds more like you, then play with the scenario that I've just created for you and go with what works for you. And remember, the scenario I gave you is an absolute extreme, and many of you won't need it to be that extreme. Create your own motivational story. Get something sorted out in your mind, write it down, have it somewhere that you can see it, that supports you in doing what you need to do, in taking the action. So if it's about the pain, write yourself out a painful story that you know will motivate you. If it's about the pleasure, then really create that in its richness. And you know how to do that from when you did the what you wanted and why you wanted it. So write yourself out the reasons why you want the goals and use them to motivate you towards taking action. So you'll see all of that in your workbook, and there's a couple of other little bits in there for you as well. Okay, so coaching is about getting you to think about goals and getting you to think about taking action. You know this. And the idea is that you leave a session feeling good about your choices and actions rather than beating yourself up about what you should do. So coaching is going to be stretching you, and that means initially that you're going to have to feel a little bit of discomfort if you want to change your self-esteem, if you want to change your confidence, until you get practiced at the new way of thinking or behaving. So here's some tips for you. In order to develop and improve your confidence and esteem, consider the following 5 areas to focus on. The mind. Create a positive focus by using meditation, affirmations, positive self-talk, and replacing any limiting beliefs with positive ones. Consider coaching, NLP, TFT, reflective repatterning, and positive friends to support you with it. The second tip, imagination. Create a vision board. Find positive pictures of yourself or others that are doing what you want and use daily visualizations. Remember, they don't have to be big and long. They can be 15, 20, 30 seconds, just popping them into your mind two or three times a day to start manifesting them. The third tip, emotions. Accept you've got them and learn how to express them in a healthy way. If you need to, consider some group work or talking therapy, use some TFT or get some body work if the emotions that you're having are not being expressed in a healthy or good way for you. Your body, learn to love it. Learn to accept it and express it. And use it to help you start to feel how you want to feel. Consider a body image workshop or a bioenergetic therapy if you've got any problems loving and accepting it. And I know many of us do. Do a dance class or take exercise. You like it, but you want to tone it. And the last tip, intuition. Trust your gut instinct as much as you do your mental thoughts. If you don't know how to, consider meditation, chakra work, therapy, reflective repatterning, or personal development work. So that's a lot of stuff this week. And in your workbook, you're going to find 40 tips to help you feel great and confident. And I really hope you'll find some that resonate with you. I would hope with 40 of them that you will. And I'd encourage you to select two or three of them that you really like and add them to your daily actions. So I know you're doing a lot already, but if you're looking at building your confidence and your self-esteem, then these are some simple little tips. They're very quick and easy. And you can choose whichever ones you want. You can do more than two or three, but two or three normally is plenty. Remember, 30 days in order to really make them embed themselves. So use them to help you with your confidence changes. And remember, confidence is about doing. It's an external, action-focused activity. So you need to know what you want in order to be confident, and you need to be able to break down what you want into small pieces and then take one small step at a time. Get out of your comfort zone and step into your stretch zone. Start to feel how brilliant that is. And for personal confidence coaching, speak with your coach, change your physiology, and make sure you handle any mind chatter or limiting images as they come up. And I've given you some exercises today. Remember, focus on what you want. Break it down. Plan how you'll get it. Use role models to learn from. Be yourself and incorporate little bits of your role model into your daily actions, as well, of course, as the following 40 tips, which you can read in your workbook. So, we've come to the end of this week's session. And next week, we're going to be looking at procrastination, what it is, and how to start working with it. Today, what we've done is we've looked at confidence and self-esteem, and there's so much more for you to look into this. There's so much information out there on the market on confidence and self-esteem. And as long as you remember, confidence is about action, it's about outward focus, and it's about the tips I've given you. And self-esteem is very much about how you think about yourself and your inner work. I've mentioned authors to you and research that you can start to look into. And of course, the work we've done in previous weeks are going to help you with what we've started today. Bring them in, use them. They'll really be invaluable as you start to move towards a more confident you. We've looked at respecting and valuing yourself, and you've had exercises to do around that. I've told you about basic human needs. They'd be great for you to check in with your goals, as well as you're setting new goals. Are these supporting me in getting my basic human needs met? And we've also talked about changing limiting beliefs and confidence as well. We've talked about the power of now. I mentioned that earlier. Introduced you to the scrambler and some little NLP exercises. We've talked about towards and away from motivation. And I've mentioned those five tips to help focus your mind. And of course, you have your 40 tips to help you feel confident. And your personal development exercises that we did in this session were the recap questions, your personal development questions. There were 8 self-care questions, actions to develop your self-care, working with a confidence issue, questions and exercises to support change. You had 9 self-coaching questions. We talked about using NLP and the scrambler to make change. And there were some exercises on going deeper if you wanted to take that change even further. And then, of course, the move away and move towards exercises. So this week's questions for you to put around your home, in your car, in your diary, so that you can support the work that we've been doing on this course. I'd like you to ask yourself, how confident am I feeling about my goals and actions today? and how do I know that answer is true? How am I challenging any confidence dips that I have today? What am I doing today to value and respect myself? What confidence tips am I using today? Remember, there's 40 for you to have a look at. If or when my mind brings me past events that cause me emotional feelings, I notice I stay focused X number of times on my new interpretation of the past event. I recall the new positive interpretation and I concentrate and focus on it and notice how it changes my present feelings. That's one of the exercises we did just a short while ago. You've got some optional extras today. You might want to research or look into Human Needs, Mindfields College. There's loads of reading on this week's topic, as I've said, so I've only given you a few recommendations. There's The Power of Now, as I said, Take Time for Your Life, Cheryl Richardson, The Self-Esteem Bible, Gail Lindenfield, and The Confidence Booster Workout, Martin Perry. Those last two, very simple, in fact, all those books, nice and easy to read, nice and simple exercises for you to do in them. Please go look for your own. They're just some examples of optional extras. And as always, you have your weekly action plan. Where are you with your goals now? Write a sentence saying what you think about the goal you're working on right now. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve this goal? You should really be excited about how well you're doing 9 weeks into the program. And what 3 steps could you take this week to help move you closer to your goal? Write them below. What have you done over the past weeks to take you closer? Write your progress to date here. So, a lot we've covered today. I hope you've got a lot out of it. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I will very much look forward to being with you again this time next week. And in the meantime, wish you a fabulous week and take lots of care.